This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Well, good evening, Australia. Thanks to Transpositions for the last show and potentially the next show, my
Absolutely.
Love.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, the two hosts of Transpositions are the gorgeous Michelle and the gorgeous Megan.
Absolutely.
And we'll be introducing a very special guest tonight, which is Michelle. We're lucky enough to have her in the studio, and she'll be here in about 5 minutes. And she's a self-confessed trans woman makeup artist, oversharer, radio host, IT nerd and makeup artist, which is such a heady cocktail.
I know.
I can't
wait. I was going to say, you'll be able to talk a lot about makeup because you were a makeup artist for many years as well,
my
love.
Indeed. I know my way around a makeup bag. Oh,
goodness. You cozy girls get together. It's like the snake pit. You've got to watch out. Now, my love.
Yes.
What's Chatterbox about?
Well, we are a talk show where we bring in a member of the GLBTI community and they get to choose four songs and they best really tell their story. So from
Absolutely.
Growing up right the way through to now. And we can't wait to hear Michelle's story because it's an absolute cracker.
Now, my love.
Yes.
We can't proceed any further.
Mm.
We have to say a big happy birthday to our darling friend Amity.
Turned 40 on the weekend. We had a wonderful time. So thank you, my love.
Marvellous lunch in a vineyard at Red Hill and pretty much fell down the hill to her house afterwards. It was lovely. And something else was happening in Melbourne town this on the long weekend.
Well, the Queen
as well.
Of Pop was here.
The Queen of
Elton
Pop.
Elton John. No.
I was going to say Donna Bloody Summer's dead.
No, Madge.
Madge.
Magadonna was in town and apparently she was amazing. There were some beat up articles in the paper saying she had a breakdown on stage and she was drinking tequila. But honestly, she can do what she likes.
She can
She's
do
Madonna.
What she likes. She's been doing this for years. Apparently, it was one of the best concerts period.
Absolutely. Everybody that went said it was absolutely incredible.
So out of her back catalogue.
Yes.
What the hell do we play, my love?
My favourite Madonna song, actually.
Is this your favourite?
Yeah, absolutely favourite Madonna song and favourite Madonna video.
Yes.
Which is Express Yourself. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Michelle, just after the break on Joy 94.9. Listen to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Emma loved.
And we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest tonight.
Absolutely. Now, you normally hear her on Transpositions, our opener.
She's our Tuesday neighbour.
here she is, the fabulous Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Welcome to Chatterbox. Thank you.
I love coming and being guests on other people's shows. Like, we went to World Wide Wave. You must have taken either they took it from you or you took it from them. I love coming in and get treated so well. I get bottles of water.
Can I say, you hadn't just been on air, we would have taken you out for a glass of wine at the Hairy Canary, because that's where we do our green room.
That's love it.
Apparently, that's the only reason why the Murphys come back to our show. They said, oh, because we have a couple before the show.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Now, Michelle, if somebody hasn't heard Transpositions before, tell us a little bit about the show, how long you've been doing it.
Oh, my God. The show's actually coming up to 2 years now,
wow.
The show.
Wow.
I've been involved in about a year and a half of that with Megan.
Yep.
I actually came on the show as a guest one day because my story had been a little bit different, and I speak a different narrative to a lot of other people.
Yep.
And they go, you got to meet Michelle. She's so different. She's so this, so that. I came on, I told my story, and I came out of the studio, and there was like the program director, a few other people going, oh my God, you were so awesome. Can you come back again next week?
Yeah, fantastic.
And then they just kind of dragged me in, and next thing you know, I'm one of the co-hosts running the show.
Fantastic. So, now, your show is obviously designed for the trans community.
It is designed for the trans community, but also for the allies, so people can get a good understanding of trans issues that are going on in the world.
Yep.
We really try to have a lighter, fun side of things, and not so much that heavy, dark narrative of well, I knew when I was 4, and I tried to commit suicide when I was 13.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know, we all know that story.
Yeah.
Let's shake it up. Let's find new, unique, fun. Let's go global. Let's have fun with this.
And speaking of going global, you've just had quite the milestone with your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, 15,000 this week.
That's incredible.
It's amazing. It is so cool. And the show itself, I mean, we're, I think, around the top 5 show here. The ratings are good. The everything. It's just, here I keep thinking of myself as this kid from the Midwest in the U.S. and just who somehow landed here on the Big Island, and next thing you know, I'm a woman now, and I'm hosting a radio show that's listening globally.
You must get some awesome feedback though on your show, because it is a very, very different take on I suppose, you said the normal trans issues that are out there, it's not trying to make light of them, but it's just trying to put a slightly different spin on them.
I think a lot of the shows try to be a bit more editorial, where we don't. We really just try to have a bit of fun and a bit of a laugh and sometimes a bit talk. It's very magazine. But yeah, it's just a really good, fun feeling.
Yeah.
We've got such amazing, like I was saying earlier on the show before, that, you know, to get messages from someone from the U.S. is going, oh, hey, you know, by the way, you know, your podcast, there was an episode that was a bit screwed up.
Yeah.
And we're like, and I'm replying back going, oh, well, thank you so much for telling me that. We'll get on top of it. And thanks for your message. And hey, look, if there's anything ever you want to hear or have us talk about, let us know. And have a great day. And then like, holy bat balls, Batman. I can't believe you replied back to me. I was just listening to you. And then Megan pops in. And Megan's like, oh, yes, thank you so much. Oh, my God, it was both of you talking to me directly. And I'm going, I'm just this person on a show.
Yeah. We've had that recently. And I think, and it's very hands-on here at Joy.
Of course it is.
But it is quite nice that you get a connection. And it's always lovely to hear from someone listening to your show and giving you direct feedback where you can actually do something about it.
Wait until you're walking down Brook Street Mall and someone yells, Michelle. And I'm going, hi. I have no idea who you are.
No.
I'm like, oh, we're friends. We follow you on Transpositions. I'm like, oh, thank you for following.
Now, Michelle, obviously a big part of Chatterbox is you get to choose 4 songs. Was that hard or easy for you?
Oh, look, I've been interviewed quite a bit in many different places. And so I do get asks for songs quite often.
Yep.
And I really kind of dug a little bit more on this one. So this one actually was a little bit hard. And I tried to get as personal as I could on this one.
Great.
So because, you know, we can talk a bit more.
Yeah,
it's up to 9 here.
This is your night.
It's all about me.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you're listening to Brett and Andy tonight on Chatterbox with our fabulous guest, Michelle, only on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, joy.org.au for the world.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Michelle, from Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Now, my love, we've had a couple of messages pop through, haven't we?
We have indeed. We've had one from the lovely John from Burnley.
Yes.
Oh, no, sorry, John from Hawthorne. He used to be in Burnley.
Yes, and he said...
Late of Burnley.
Yeah, late of Burnley, my love. Late of Burnley. A very good evening, ladies and gents. Andy, totally agree. Best Madonna song and video clip.
And we've had another one.
Yes.
And it's from the gorgeous Sarah and Pete... And Harry and Soph.
Oh.
Well, happy Chatterbox, you lot, over there in Q.
Oh, gosh. We're very eastern suburbs tonight.
We are a little bit.
Goodness.
We are. Now, Michelle.
Yes, dear.
Big part of Chatterbox, as we said just before we went to that traff, was choosing songs that best tell your story. Mm-hmm. And the first song we asked you to pick was about your early life. So mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about growing up.
Growing up was a bit hard. I'd always... So growing up in the Midwest in St. Louis,
yep.
you're talking Bible Belt, you know, man's a man. Everyone's got their gender roles. In some ways, it still almost has that Stepford Wifey kind of feel sometimes yep. at that time. You know, my stepdad was a pretty rough guy and was very big on faking it till you make it. Do you want to be the guy washing the car, a guy driving the car? Yeah. And so I was really kind of pushed into being in this masculine role.
Yep. Yeah.
Labor work is beneath you. You always want a white collar job. And I always had a feminine side to myself that I remember being 4 years old and acting out on those feminine feelings yep. and having to suppress those for such a long time was so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I remember just things like my thing was about makeup. I loved makeup. I loved to get my mom's makeup and try that yep. on. You know, thinking when I'm younger, how much I just had these feminine feelings of, God, I wish I'd just wake up tomorrow and just be a girl.
Can I ask, did you recognize them as you knew you wanted to be a girl?
I knew I wanted to be a girl from a very young age, and I knew there was something wrong. But at that time, you really don't. You go, no, there's nothing wrong with yep. me. You know, I, by the time I'm in my early to mid-teens, you know, I'm attracted to women. I mean, I was identifying that I did find men attractive.
Yep.
But, oh, my God, that's bad. That's gay. You know, gay's not good. And so early life was a bit hard. But there was always, I always loved music when I was younger.
Yep.
And it was always my sort of religion I'd hear songs and I'd associate and I could just put it on and just disappear.
Yeah.
It is really something, particularly I think when you're young, it's somewhere great to just escape to.
Exactly.
So have you got a big family or?
I was the oldest of four siblings.
Yep.
My stepdad was around since I was three, so I knew him as my dad.
Yeah.
Very rough. Like, if you didn't catch the football, he basically would take it and throw it at you directly.
Yeah.
Or,
he was quite rough, quite abusive growing up.
Yeah.
I could go into nitty-gritty details, but you know what? I've grown way past those and developed further and come to peace with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, can I ask, at what age did you say when you knew reasonably early on that you wanted to be a girl?
Well, I was at four, I knew I wanted to be a girl. I just knew in my own head that I just didn't like being a boy.
Yeah.
Suppressed it, did as much as I could, lived the high school male life as much as I could, dated females. There was a few points there. I remember meeting this one friend at school who was gay.
I've
actually recently gotten back in touch with. He's living in Paris now with his husband. And I remember him talking about doing drag.
Yeah.
And our teacher going and saying, well, I'd promote underage sex before I would promote gay sex.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was really full on. She's like, no, you're lovely. That's fine. But I don't promote gay sex. And he, we were, but I remember he doing drag and I'm going to his place and like being so like nervous. And so I'm like, oh my God, so you do this, do you? And, And I remember when I first started identifying and coming out and meeting somebody who was trans for the first time. I used to love going to this Barnes & Noble bookstore.
Yep.
And I used to go and look at all the different makeup books until I eventually bought my favorite book, which was Making Faces by Kevin O'Connor.
Oh, you fabulous book.
Oh, and we've got that, haven't we, Mark?
That became, that was like my, it was like my National Geographic, like my Playboy. Like I, it was, that was my.
I love it.
And so you'd see that, you know, you'd see other boys and stuff having their Playboy magazine, just sneaking these magazines. Here I am, I've got this Making Faces book, and here I am in my high school letterman's jacket. I'm trying to jock it up. And lady comes over and goes, can I help you? And I'm going, no, I'm fine. Yeah. You know?
Putting that aside, it's actually the most fascinating read because of what he does. And I've never, and Andy, I mean, when I met Andy, you were still in cosmetics.
Yeah.
And when he showed me, I was like, this is the most amazing transformation of people.
That's what I loved about it. There was a real sense of escapism to it and a real sense of complete transformation, particularly when he was transforming well-known people into other well-known people.
But the way it was being done was personal. It wasn't just like, well, you take the oil and you apply it in a circular motion. No, it was the feeling behind
absolutely.
It.
Oh yeah.
And you'd understand how he did makeup sometimes. He would do their makeup upside down as they were laying in their chair. And he was the makeup artist to stars. And you know, unfortunately he passed away. But I remember coming back there again and meeting somebody trans for the first time. And I wigged out.
Yeah.
I'm going, no, I don't associate with this.
Yeah, this isn't me.
And then eventually I came back into it. And so, you know, before you really come out, you're really just cross-dressing.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. That's all you're really doing. And you're acting out in your expression of who you are, but it's all it really is. And yeah, I remember going out to different clubs, and there'd be gay clubs, and I'm meeting more trans people or cross-dressers or drag queens or whatever. And it really was not what I thought.
Yeah.
It was, remember going to a gay bar, and it was like all these stainless steel walls. An old man comes up to me, an icy pole, and goes, oh, would you like a suck an icy pole? And he's like putting it in my face. And I'm going, no, but it's really hot in here, so I'll take it anyway.
No one's going to judge you for that,
no,
Michelle.
No, but then as I'm going up above the stairs, there's people downstairs having sex. Or there was this one person, she's smoking weed and she's doing coke and she's going off and sucking someone off.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I'm not that.
And
every time I'd see this example of what it was, what it was like to be trans or gay or whatever, it was first off my own judgments of what I was told by my family, but then also I'm going into this bar and I'm seeing what these people are doing and I'm going, but I'm not that.
I'm not identifying with it.
But I remember when the one girl I went with, she was in this salon getting ready.
Yeah.
I did my own hair and I did my clothes. My clothes were quite conservative, no different than really what I have now.
Yeah.
And I'd already done a bit of my own makeup and I was just nervous going out because I hadn't gone out very much. And this guy comes up to me who runs a salon and he goes, honey, let's just sit down for a second. He goes, let me just try some other colors on you. And he sat down. He was putting some like green liner or whatever like that. And he was really gentle. And he was really treating me like a lady sitting there.
Yeah,
and I'm going, this is better.
Mm. Yeah,
this feels better.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going, this is different.
Yeah.
And he treated me the way I identified, which was amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, tell us about your first track you picked and why you chose it, because I'd never heard this version before. It's actually one of my favorite songs ever.
Mm.
I think it's the most beautifully crafted pop songs ever written.
Mm.
It was actually played as the at our friend Selling Chris's wedding. And it was the song that actually started everyone before the ceremony.
Oh.
And it was just, it brought me to tears because it's just such a fabulous song.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Muppets.
Yeah.
All right. So my kids and I are always, I like to do Kermit the Frog.
Oh my God. That is the best Kermit.
That is brilliant. You've been sitting on that one. Yeah,
so I usually kind of sit there and have arguments with myself going, listen, frog. And so I usually do like the 12 Days of Christmas and do all the voices of the Muppets, right?
Oh my God.
And so
I love it.
That was my growing up, was on the Muppets.
Yeah.
And I love Kermit the Frog's version of Rainbow Connection.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But I heard this one, and it's a bit of a mashup, and I can't remember what it's mashup of. I think it's from Willy Wonka. I think it is. And this is a beautiful version. And for me, there's things in there like, I know I'm supposed to be somewhere. I know I'm supposed to be someone.
Yeah.
I know there's something more than what's going on now.
Yeah.
I know I'm supposed to be here, but something's calling me somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's how I associate this, is there's something more, and I need to do it.
Well, without further ado, we will introduce your first track for the night, which is Kenny Loggins with Rainbow Connection. You're listening to Chatterbox with Andrew and Brett and our very special guest, the beautiful Michelle, on Joy 94.9.
Dreamers and me.
Hi, this is Kermit the Frog. You are listening to Chatterbox. Yay!
Oh my God, I'm so impressed right now. I love it.
It's so good. I swear to God, it's so good.
Oh my God. You are listening to Chatterbox tonight. It's our very special guest, Michelle. Normally you're here on Transpositions and the show before us on a Tuesday night. But my love, quickly, what's our show about?
Look, we bring in a member of the community and they get to tell their story through song and chat, a couple of laughs, quite a few laughs, and impressions, it would have been. Which is fantastic.
Oh no.
Stefan stuck their hand up my ass and made me a Muppet.
My love, yes. We've just had a message.
We have. It says, hello, darlings. Lovely hearing your smiley voices and your guest, Michelle. Mwah. XXX Sean.
Oh, Sean. Lovely. Hey, now, just before, we were playing Rainbow Connection, and we were around probably talking about Michelle's early life, and you were identifying, and then you were going out in clubs, and you were trying to sort of... You were really just identifying as who you've become.
Exactly.
Yeah. So... tell us a little bit more. You're starting to go out. You have met someone who's helped you, who sat you down, as you said, treated you like a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you wanted to be.
Exactly.
Did the fairy godmother come along and give you a dress? Or well, did you go to the ball?
I was going out and about and trying different places. And I was getting on doing like amateur drag and trying to figure just out what the hell I was doing.
Yeah.
And I had a moment where I'm in this place and it's so seedy and just so, which just wasn't me. I wasn't clicking. Yeah. You know, you get this moment where you go, yeah, this isn't right. And I remember going out to my car and it was a snowy night and I sat in my car and like the whole parking lot was filling up with snow. And here I'm sitting in my car going, just staring up in space going, where am I going? What am I doing? What does this mean? And I thought to myself, you know, there's something more to this. You know, I've got something more going on here than what this is. This isn't just... fun. This isn't something I'm doing for self-expression. I'm thinking something's more here.
Yep.
And I remember going to my mom and my aunt, and I'm sitting there in the car with my mom and trying to tell my mom, and I was on the tip of my tongue, and I think my mom knew.
Did you know, sorry, at that point that it was you were trans, or did you just, you were still trying to figure out
I was
exactly
still trying
what?
To figure exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Because, look, I was still attracted to women.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I wanted the 2.5 picket fence life. Yeah, that's what I knew. That's what I thought I wanted.
Yeah.
And I really tried. And the next thing you know, I'm back at the gym shaving my head and working out and trying to be... you know, trying to be a man.
Yeah.
And
was that really just rebelling against what you sort of knew was there anyway?
I think so. Yeah. I'm just trying to, no, this is what I'm told I'm supposed to be. Yeah. Why am I acting like this? What am I doing? Why the fuck am I putting on women's clothing?
Yeah.
You know, you're going, what the fuck's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And so I'm going out. I'm back at the gym. I started dating this girl and this girl goes, you really should have been a woman. Like you need to be with a man. You're obviously a woman. And I'm going, fuck, she's picking up on this and I'm trying to be a man. You know, and I'm like, okay, something's not right here. And this is after my first marriage had just fallen apart.
Yep.
You know, I kind of came out to my first wife and she didn't cook it very well. And I was trying to find my place. And and next thing you know, I go, no, back to the gym, working back out, purge everything that I was, you know, dresses and things that I'd started buying.
Yeah.
Met my second wife online and I had really nothing left because I tried to sort of express myself a bit more and my family really didn't take it very well. Yeah. So here I was divorced, broke, sleeping on the floor, the duna blanket. That's all I had.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like friends started blocking me out. Didn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Everything.
I was going to say, how did friends react? Cause I think we've talked obviously previously about coming out as gay. You can have some, difficult friend, you know, there's some friendships that come to an end over that,
of course.
How was it coming out as trans? Did you lose a lot of friends or
in the '90s? Yeah. It was one thing. Now, because of the way I transitioned, I transitioned different than anyone else.
I
went slow. I let people transition with me.
As soon as
I started going one or two steps too far, I took one step back so they could catch up with me and come along. So in this whole process, now when I came out, I maybe lost maybe 4 friends, but really, were they true friends?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, but at that time in the '90s, because it was so negative and all you saw was Jerry Springer and, you know, my midget lover used to be a man.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah. Jerry Springer and Maury Povich really didn't do a great deal for
a lot of people. A lot of people. My goodness. It's funny, you know, Andy and I watched a few years ago My Transsexual Summer.
Oh, great show.
And it was only really Andy and I were when we were watching it, it was probably the first time that we looked, like, for me anyway, that I said, Christ, it was hard coming out. Hmm. But I wasn't, I did not have, I might have had society judge me, or what I felt like society was judging me because of who I wanted to sleep with. Mm-hmm. But there's this group of quite wonderful individuals who are struggling with gender. Mm. So it's not even, I don't even think they're in the same ballpark. It's a complete, and I didn't really fully understand.
Well, when you think about it, you coming out, right?
Yeah.
Let's go say you started a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
You could still start a job and you can go and straighten it up.
Yeah.
And no one would know.
No.
I'm 6 foot bloody three. Yeah. You know, I'm a side of beef here.
Yeah.
You know, like, you look at me and go, yeah, she obviously used to be a man, but I've got to present a certain presence to make sure people understand who I am and what I am and you know, my professionalism, everything. I got to sell myself on a whole nother level than you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there are so many different challenges you have to go through.
Yeah.
You know, you're also talking, like me, with my mom. My mom obviously found out on the internet.
Yeah.
Because we weren't talking. And my mom replied and said, oh, well, you know, that's gay. That's gay, Danny. And I go, Mom, it's, and she goes, no, being gay, that's gay. If you want to date men, that is gay. Mm. And then it's very bad still back where she's at.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, Mom, look, I said, I'm a woman now. I said, you know, and please, can you stop calling me Danny? It's Michelle now. Yeah. I said, that's how I identify. I don't care what you do to yourself. You're still going to be a man. You'll never be a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just a faggot gay freak show.
Oh, really?
Oh.
And I go, Mom, seriously, that's how just, awful. You know. And she goes, what a fucking waste. I should have aborted you.
Oh my God. How awful.
Look, and as I said, I think when you go through things like that, you must have such an incredibly strong sense of who you are to be able to.
No, you have to.
Talk about that now, and I'm sure it hurts. I'm sure it hurt at the time, and I'm sure it still hurts now. But to be able to just go, do you know what? This is me, and it doesn't matter how hurtful you are. Hmm. This is me, and I'm happy with who I am.
And then people wonder why there's such, you know, trans people walking around chips on their shoulder when your own mother is telling you things like this. You know, standing up for themselves, going, no, I am here, and I'm standing up for myself, I am who I identify. Please stop it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the train, and I have people in the corner going and saying, No, seriously, it's a man. I swear to God, that's a man. Look at it. Look at its arms. Look at its hands. It's a man.
Yeah.
And you're going, I'm just want to go home.
I'm just catching the train to work, trying to pay the rent. Shut up. Leave me alone.
Exactly.
Now, Michelle, tell us a little bit about your second track and why you chose it.
I just got done going through divorce, and I had been trying to figure out, I really felt no hope within my life at that time. So we're talking about 23, this song was really playing. And I think at that time, I couldn't see my life past maybe the year 2000.
Wow. Yeah.
Like I just pretty much was, you know, I pretty much my life is, I don't know where it's going.
Yep. Yeah.
And when you're at that point in your life, you start thinking and planning out your own funeral songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought this song was so beautiful, and it still gave me hope.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was, I said, yeah, if I die tomorrow, this is the song I wanted to have played.
So what is the song?
This is As I Lay Me Down by Sophie B. Hawkins.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Michelle, on Joy 94.9.
It felt like springtime on this February morning. In a courtyard, birds were singing your praise. I'm still recalling things you said to me. I wonder why.
diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, the divine Michelle from Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
I have never been described as divine
have
before.
You not?
I like that.
There's something horribly wrong with the world if you haven't.
Oh, well, there you go.
Now, Michelle, you're
going to be my PR person from now on.
Absolutely. The track you just played was As I Lay Me Down, Sophie B. Hawkins, and you said it came at a really dark point in your life.
Right, exactly. And I didn't see any further in my life. I didn't see my life really getting anywhere. It was very much like, okay, well, I guess this is very much it.
So what was the turning point?
The turning point for me was, I remember going with my ex, my first wife, to Portland, standing on there on the beach, and I'm kind of disconnected.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, nope, I need to figure out where I'm going, what I'm doing. And I ended up actually meeting my future wife online.
Yeah.
And at that time, I had nothing left. Everything was gone. Sleeping on the floor, as I said. Next thing you know, here I am in Australia, getting married on the beach in Queensland.
Yeah.
And I remember standing there on the beach, looking out into the ocean, going, how the hell did I get on the other side of the ocean? Yeah. Oh, my God. I was just there like a year ago.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
I'm here. And then next thing you know, we're taking a holiday off to Thailand. And here I am in this massive ball and a suit and tie and this big gala. And I'm going, I had a massive surreal moment where everything just like went vertigo. And I felt like collapsing going, it's like you're waking up from a weird dream.
Yeah.
You know, everything was so dark and whatever. Now here I'm happy poolside. And
yeah.
You know, it's raining while I'm dancing in the water. You know,
wow.
And you know, looking at, and again, you know, I tried to live that 2.5 picket fence. I tried to push away everything feminine in my life.
Yep.
I hated makeup. I didn't want anything to do with anything. Next thing you know, I'm doing makeup. Someone, whatever, the boys are playing, watching footy in the other room. I'm in the kitchen with the girls doing everyone's makeup. So when I came out, everyone actually thought, well, no, Daniel, he's just gay.
Yeah.
And then I come out
and they're going, we didn't expect this.
Yeah. Because you mentioned earlier on in the show that you tried dressing as a woman and living as a woman, and then you'd fought it and sort of lived as a man again. At what point did you actually decide to transition?
Well, there was a few years into my marriage, to my second marriage. We were together for 12 years.
Yeah.
And we had split, and I had, again, thought about it, maybe coming out, wasn't too sure, but I had a daughter, and I thought, no, I'm a parent. I'm not going to do this. I need to work at my family. I need to work on things. But what happened was our marriage had fallen apart again.
Yeah.
And I just, God damn. I thought, something's not right with me.
Yeah.
I need to look into this. And we had just done, like about a month or two before we split, it was about a month, actually. It was my birthday. And I had a D party for Daniel. And I went and did drag.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there and I got all done up. And my ex had looked at me and said, I don't know what is going on, but what was in my living room was not drag. That was a woman.
Yeah.
And one day she just said to me, she goes, between work, kids, and my sport roller derby, I don't have time for you the way that you want.
Yeah.
And all I really wanted was my wife to be my partner.
Yep.
Yeah,
by my side.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted her to be my supporter as I'm supporting her. I went on with my life. I said, fine, I can't be an at-home nanny. I can't be a ghost in the hallway. I need to figure out where my life is going.
Yeah.
And I went and saw a couple of different... I actually didn't just stop with one psych. I saw two.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that if I'm doing this, that this is exactly what I think this is. And they said to me, if you don't do this, this is going to get worse and worse. And you'll probably end up leading to suicide and darkness. And I said, okay, well, let's look into it. Let's start doing little bits at a time. Let's do blockers, see if that makes a difference. Maybe it's the beard. Maybe if I can do half-half, maybe I can, you know, I just need to go further.
Michelle, you started tonight and you said that you felt you identified at a really young age.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think the blocker was? What do you think? Because you kept on coming
back
to it and it wasn't going away. It's really?
Look, I mean, I can show you a photo of what I looked like before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when you look at what I was before, and this is what everyone had saw.
Yeah,
and I thought, well, no, this is what I am. This is who I need to be. Like, I'm this person. And this is, you know, how I lived my life. And I could never see myself as the woman I am today.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I was hairy. I was beard. I was, you know, everything. And, you know, you're standing there and going, this will never be.
So can I ask Michelle, what was it? Was it a gradual transition, or was there a point where you looked in the mirror and thought, this feels right?
there was a point where I looked in the mirror. It was a gradual thing, but it was a point where all of a sudden I felt pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I go...
And how did that feel?
I felt alive.
Yeah.
And I go, as a man... I shouldn't know what pretty feels like.
Yeah.
Well, what's pretty? I mean, there's handsome. I feel strong. I feel confident. I feel whatever. But I felt pretty.
Pretty, yeah.
And I go, I like feeling pretty. I'm not the most attractive woman in the world. Let's be honest. But I don't care.
I think you're selling yourself quite short. Because I think you really are.
Thank you.
You got great hair.
Everyone loves my hair.
Well, most women will kill for that hair, Michelle. No, you know.
But this is it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
All I care about is how I feel on the inside to the outside. And I go, you know what? I feel pretty. I feel happy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. And that's the thing that clicked for me. I'm going, that's where I had that turning point of, this is what I need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it was that feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So tell us about your third track and why you chose it, because it's very upbeat compared to where we've just come from.
Yep. It's that, I mean, there was a line in that I was like, no matter what I do, you know, I still know that, to me, the message it gave to me was, you know, St. Peter will still call my name.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. And so this one is Viva La Vida by Coldplay. And this actually is part of my 1-year transition video, which I should share with you.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And it just, for me, it was like, it's just the stance of, you know, I'm here and I'm fighting.
Yeah, kind
of
feeling. It's such an empowering song.
Yeah.
So without further ado, this is Michelle's third track for the night, which is Viva La Vida by Coldplay. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our wonderful guest Michelle on Joy 94.9.
When I gave the word, now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own. I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing. Now the old king's dead, long live the king. One minute I held the key, next the walls were closed on me, and I discovered that my castle stand upon pillars of sand, pillars of sand. I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing, Roman cavalry choirs are singing.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, the gorgeous Michelle from Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
How'd you get downgraded from Divine?
No. Gorgeous and Divine. It's brilliant. All part of the same.
Hey, quickly, the lovely Chris of Yarraville sent through a message and just said, hey, boys, was down to 1% and had to run up the stairs and grab the phone charger. Couldn't miss Joy. Loved Sophie B. Hawkins' track. Great show, as per usual. Oh, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Now, Michelle.
Yes, dear.
I watched a wonderful episode of Insight last week that you were on. You were one of the guests on Insight. Tell us about that, because it was such a great show.
Yes,
and it was so different to anything I'd ever seen.
Yep. So last week we were on the episode called Love Transformed. So if you're going to Google it, go to SBS Insight Love Transformed. And so it was a great a chance to go and have a narrative from the partner, child, friend of the trans person. So normally a narrative is always about the trans person.
Yeah.
Where this was great. So I was on there with my kids. My kids, they follow us around the cameras. We getting our nails done, had some lunch, whatever. And they got to speak to my kids and see my kids and see us live a normal family life, which was amazing. It's nice to see some positive trans narratives.
Yeah.
And then they asked me a few questions. They're talking about the issues with school, things like that. And so now I'm just kind of getting out there and trying to be more of a face and a positive narrative to the community. And
you told a really beautiful story about, I think, when you were going to the school to pick your children up and something that your partner had asked you to do.
Yeah.
Then how the kids reacted.
I was asked to actually detransition for a day and had to go back to being Daniel for a day.
Oh.
And Now, I do go and say my old name sometimes because it's part of a story.
Yeah.
A lot of trans people don't like mentioning their old name. They call it dead naming, which I think it's gross.
Yeah.
But I still see myself as I was Daniel. I'm still Daniel. What I've done is I felt like I didn't necessarily transition. I integrated the best parts of myself.
Wow, what a great way of explaining it.
Exactly. And being Michelle is shining through of who I am as a person, the most positive side of myself.
Yeah.
And so I had to go back and put a binder on my breasts. I had to go put a jumper on, some jeans, put a ball cap. And I had people approaching me going, oh, it's so nice to see you. And, oh, so congratulations. And here I'm getting called Michelle and being congratulated. And here I'm dressed as a man in a schoolyard. My kids were pissed. They hated it. Yeah. They were not happy. My youngest actually stops me sometimes. And if I put on something that's a bit more masculine, my youngest, hands on hips, Dad, yes, Peyton, why are you dressed like a boy? Peyton, I'm just cleaning house. But you're a girl.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to put on a dress, sweetheart. You're not a boy. You're a girl now. Yeah. Yes, honey. That's fine. And she's six. And I'm awesome.
But you know what? Isn't that wonderful? Because I think it leads back to what you were saying at the start of the show. And society was really what made you struggle a lot of the way with transitioning. Mm. And your child is just so...
My children prefer
absolutely because they can see you happy and they see you as female and society hasn't indoctrinated that into them, and I think it's so wonderful. And as I said, it was such a fascinating story, and it was such a lovely different take to what you normally see trans people represented as on TV.
Thank you.
Michelle, you've been a fabulous guest tonight. We've run out of time.
I wanted another hour.
I know, my love. But to play us out, your final song by Imagine Dragons.
It's time. Do I need to say more?
Do you need to say any more, my love? Any final words tonight?
No, just look, thank you so much, Michelle, because you've been so open and so candid, and it's just been absolutely wonderful to have you in. So thank you so much.
Likewise. I look forward to complaining with you guys again sometime.
Yay! Oh,
that would be lovely. And my love,
see you next Tuesday, Australia.
Good night, Australia.
Good night.
Is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.